roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
What is up, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goz reporting for duty here on a Thursday. It's going to be a fun show today. I did it again. Still in makeup mode because we missed a couple of guests, so we double booked. But I think after today, and Goz can correct me if I'm wrong, I think we'll be all caught up. So two guests, TJ Lavin, BMX rider and MTV host. Also, he's also a big combat sports fan too, you know. Although I do want to talk about Double Agents, which is coming up here December 9th on MTV. I'm hooked. They got me. Goz actually got me on that one. I caught the last season of The Challenge. And the next one's already, because I was behind on that one, I'm going to be all ready to go on December 9th. Double Agents. Going to be fun. But yeah, TJ loves combat sports. In fact, he wrestled here in high school in Las Vegas. Artem Lobov, the Russian Hammer, also known as the GOAT to all of us hardcores, former UFC and bare knuckle vet. He'll join us as well. And of course, we'll cover the latest news, which today is going to be a little bit on the silly side. Askren wants to beat up Jake Paul. Nick Diaz's manager says that Nick Diaz will 99.999999% sure fight in 2021. I'm sure Goz is rolling his eyes there. Brian Ortega, he bought his dad a new whip. I like that one. That one was cool. Habib wants to make MMA an Olympic sport. That one's tough. But you know, I salute Habib with whatever he puts his mind to. That guy's awesome. He's definitely one of the goats of our sport. Leon Edwards has the Rona, folks. He's out of his fight versus Khamzat Chimaev on December 19th. Geez, that guy can't catch a break. Been like 18 months since he's fought. He's one of the top welterweights out there. Holyfield wants Tyson. And, of course, UFC on ESPN 19. This Saturday, buckle up, folks. It's MMA Junkie Radio on Thursday, December 3rd.
Hola, amigos. Danny Segura dropping in. Just wanted to let you know about MMA Junkie's latest podcast. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language show dedicated to all things professional fighting. Each Monday, we recap the major events from the weekend, plus we analyze the week's biggest news. We also bring you exclusive interviews with the best fighters, coaches, and experts in the Hispanic and Latin American scene. You can find Hablemos MMA every Monday morning on your favorite podcasting platform. Suscríbete y nos hablamos pronto. Chao.
Things first, Goz and I will be hosting a UFC 256 watch along on December 12th. So if you're going to order the pay-per-view or not, watch along with us on December 12th. And that's at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. That's what time the pay-per-view starts. However, Goz and I will duck in early as always. Last time, I think we caught a full 9 fights with you guys. Part of it was because we went in 3 fights in on the prelims and the main card had 6 fights. So not that we mind one bit because we love fight night and it should be a ton of fun. Davison Figueroa, of course, will be fighting Joseph Benavidez and El Cocuy. He signed up a few weeks ago. He's also on the card. Tony Ferguson versus Charles Oliveira. We'll be reminding you of that for the next couple of weeks. Perhaps you can share and retweet with your friends as well because it's going to be a fun night of fights. All right, guys. So listen, we got a few minutes before we get to our first guest, TJ Lavin from MTV. Let's hammer through this quickly. I know some of this just, it beats you down. Nick Diaz, 99.99999. Is he coming back or not in 2021?
I think they'll announce something, but I think it'll never happen just because there's too much going on in that kid's life to get him to follow the USADA guidelines. And I'm not just talking about recreational use and all. I'm just talking about the app and checking in and telling people where you're going to be at and all that. I just don't see him doing that. I can't remember a time where he actually followed those rules. It's always been very difficult. So I think this is just an era of MMA that doesn't suit him, and I don't see it happening.
Leon Edwards has the Rona. So I don't know what's going to happen with Khamzat Chimaev. I'll keep hitting refresh to see if there's maybe an announcement of somebody stepping in, or if maybe, again, I think what happens is by the time that it's announced, a week's gone by, and they already know if they've had the mild symptoms or if they got hammered pretty good. That's why you'll see a lot of them do what they're doing this weekend, where it's Joker Hermanson fighting Marvin Vettori. Marvin Vettori was supposed to fight in a few weeks against Ronaldo Souza. But when Kevin Holland fell out, they brought Vettori up a few weeks. And then guess what? Kevin Holland goes, you know, it's not that bad. What I'm going through, I'll be ready in 2 weeks to take Vittori's spot. So who knows? It could be that they just preserve the matchup and we get it at sometime in January because there's no more December cards after this one. Or the old switcheroo. I don't know. What do you want?
Well, it's scary because Leon Edwards, his case was horrible. You know, when you hear him describe it, I think he said he lost like 12 pounds or something like that. Like, we've heard some of these guys that have just kind of hit pause and just waited a week or two, and then they're just right back in their training camp. Mm-hmm. Leon seemed pretty bad. So I don't know if that it's safe for him to really get back in there. I think he might, unfortunately, need to take a little bit of time, which sucks because he's been a little snake bitten with everything that's been going on, and you want to see the guy fight, but at the same time, you want to see 100% Leon Edwards, and I don't know what we have right now.
And by the way, Khamzat Chimaev, well, this goes for any fighter fighting on December 19th, actually fighting anytime soon, with the way the Rona's kicked up. And let's face it, man, I know these fighters go into the octagon by themselves, but they're with a team, and then they come home to people. I bet you there's a lot of people that are just going to go, you know what, hey, we'll do it in January. We tried, we couldn't do it, we'll just have to do it in January. Now, if it's fight week and you're already quarantined, you're here in Vegas, a lot of them want to power through and get that check. I get it. But I bet you a lot of them, especially the ones coming from foreign land that have to hop on a plane, it could be that they're just like, hey, you know, I'm good for now.
Agreed.
Yeah. Hey, Brian Ortega, here's a nice one. He got his dad the Jeep Rubicon, that fancy one, man. Did you see the wheels? Did you see what he did? That was really, really cool. His dad, if you'll recall, is the one that's always kind of giving him his head nod of approval, the handshake of approval towards his career, towards his fights. He doesn't say much, but Brian values every one of his words.
Well, Brian Ortega had to make a choice at one point, George. Whether to stay on the streets or get in the MMA. I love that commercial. That was really cool to see that. I've seen that a lot with different athletes, and it's always pretty touching. I remember, I mean, granted, this isn't like a fighter to a parent, but I always thought it was cool when Rampage gave Tiki that, what do you want, Land Rover or something like that?
Yeah.
I thought that was always really cool.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it wasn't just because he was his manager. I think Tiki's just been in his corner so much. You know, he did the whole season of Tough with him. And then individually in fights, ever since he kind of broke away from that Wolf Slayer camp, he's pretty much been with Tiki. And Tiki was an original Team Punishment guy, as was Rampage in the late 90s, early 2000s. So that was, you know, those guys have known each other literally half their lives. That was a very, very cool gift. How about Ben Askren? He wants Jake Paul. Now, look, in MMA, Ben Askren beats up Jake Paul. In wrestling, Ben Askren beats up Jake Paul. On the streets, Ben Askren beats up. Wait, what did you say? In MMA, Ben Askren just beats up. In MMA, he beats him up. In wrestling, he beats him up. On the streets, he beats him up. In boxing, guys, though, does Ben Askren beat up Jake Paul?
I don't think so. I mean, you haven't really seen enough of Jake Paul, but I think we've seen enough of Ben Askren. I don't know that would go. Now, I'm not saying it's a landslide or anything like that. I'm just saying you can't really go out there and say, this is going to happen. Not with Ben Askren.
Yeah. I'm sure he's trained, he's put in the time in his boxing. He's just always been so committed to the wrestling that we've never seen. You know, maybe he's got it in him, I guess. But Jake Paul, to me, just looks like a good athlete who throws pretty hard. I don't know that it's a slam dunk that Ben Askren kind of describes. However, when have we ever seen Ben Askren go into any form of a competition with any doubt at all? Other than maybe when he knew that when he was going to wrestle Jordan Burroughs, that wasn't going to go too well. Remember, he got tossed out of the whole ring area. He did not look good that night. Remember, or did you watch that? The beat the streamers.
Yeah, it's just one after another after another.
I think he realized, holy cow, man. I mean, that looked like Thunder Lips and Rocky at times. But look, I don't want to laugh at an Olympian, a champion of two major sports organizations, and really one of the coolest guys we've ever had on the show. He's always cracking me up, Ben Askren.
I've been cracking up if you see me smiling, it's because these people keep coming into the chat and they have these cool names. There's Cubs fan in hiding and Ewing should have done. Ewing was one of my favorite centers.
Oh, when he did that little pop tip in or whatever, finger roll?
Yeah. I don't know. Just
these that changes the whole history of the franchise, man. Holy cow. That's a good one. All right. Habib wants MMA in the Olympics. Do you want to shoot this one down? Or do you want me to?
Yeah, I cannot stand. I can't stand when people bring this up. To me, it makes zero sense. Who's gonna put their? I mean, even like amateur MMA is tough. Okay, you can get KO'd, and you only have so many of those in your chin to be doing this in MMA. And then it depends on what level you're trying to do it, because at times they were talking about like, oh, we have so many Brazilian fighters or good fighters, the Nogueiras, Anderson Silva, Vitor Belfort. But like, is a promoter really going to let their fighter go and have a free fight? And is a fighter really going to want to put themselves out there and have kind of a free fight? Like, you know how many – you see these guys that we're all saying, oh, he should hang him up. Don't you think they're dying to have one last fight and you're putting more on their plate? Like, none of it makes any sense. I don't understand. And let's just say you don't even use those fighters and use like amateur fighters. Like, are you really getting a true representation of what's going on in the country? Like, none of it makes sense.
It'll be a politics game as to who gets sent. It won't really even be the top amateur, I doubt. It won't really be full MMA. I bet you elbows wouldn't be allowed. What they could do is they would expand the season, because the Olympics run 3 weeks. But I know that with soccer, they start playing some of the games a little early so that they can, you know, have as many countries participate so that we can crown the best country. In soccer, I think you're allowed to take a few pros, but it's mostly, again, under 21s, 19s, yeah. Something like that. Yeah. So, you know, it's like some hybrid rules. And so with MMA, you know, let's just say they did each weight class. 8. I suppose you could fight.
There's no way.
Even in the Ultimate Fighter, I think they pull it off somehow. But you know, they're more experienced. They're professionals. So if you're going the amateur route, that's really really going to be tough. I don't know. I would like to space out fights by 3 weeks, maybe. So if they started 6 weeks before and did the quarterfinals, and then when the Olympics were starting, they did that, and then on the last day they had the finals, I suppose they could maybe do 8. But how do you pare it down to 8? And then again, you know, in the end, like you want to put a gold medal around the best in the world when mm-hmm. possible. Professionals started competing in the Olympics a couple decades ago, so that's why you see, you know, now basketball teams with NBA players and stuff like that. But I don't know, man. If it's something that has to do with the fact that we want the sport represented some way, somehow, okay. But I just don't think we're going to get the best. Whereas I feel like we've always gotten the best wrestlers, the best amateur boxers, the best judokas, you know, and when it comes to combat sports, and then they move on to become professionals at that point. There's just this, you know, sequential order. So whatever name you get on the amateur scene, it's not going to be popping. You know, that person's going to be really nobody, because there's really no fame to being an amateur fighter, I guess, save for maybe Ronda Rousey when she was a Tough Enough. I mean, there was a lot, you know, behind that. But everyone else, nobody remembers Conor McGregor's amateur fights or John Jones's amateur fights. No, nobody remembers any of that, you know. So I don't know. I don't know why they really, really want to do it. You know, they're not going to get paid to do it. I suppose from what I hear, if you get a gold medal for your country, it can be lucrative for you that way. But I still don't believe that it's going to ever outdo what the money you're going to make as a professional. And so do you want to spend time doing this or being a professional? Is there even going to be anything that's saying to introducing a fighter as a, you know, 2024 Olympic gold medalist? Like, is that going to matter in MMA?
The arts are already represented. You got boxing, you got taekwondo, you got wrestling. There's been talks of jiu-jitsu maybe getting in there, right? So, I mean, you have representation, judo, but to take some of those away and put them into one, just none of it makes any sense to me.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I've never liked it. And even if we were to take the top fighters in the world and say, look, we're going to send the best American. All right, John Jones, we're going to send him in the light heavyweight. Is the UFC going to allow that? How in the world the UFC is not going to allow that? You know, is Brazil going to want to send Davison Figueiredo? Sure. Is the UFC going to allow that? No. Weili Zhang, is China going to want to send her? Yeah. Is the UFC going to allow that? No. So, and I'm telling you, you're not going to get the full representation of a mixed martial arts fight. I really doubt they would have elbows or anything. You know, things that you've seen in Grand Prix or tournaments that would prevent a fighter from going just because of a minor cut, but it's in the wrong area.
Mm-hmm. Plus, don't forget, the UFC is not the only organization. You got your Bellator fighters, your PFL fighters. Are they going to want them to be mixing up with the UFC fighters and possibly lose some street cred? Like, there's so many reasons why this wouldn't work.
Just imagine a Corey Hill or Anderson leg break, man, in the round of 16 or in the quarterfinal, and all of a sudden, I mean, I could have sworn Anderson may have been out 2 years just recovering from that. Mm. You know, it's no joke, man. Or some vicious KO when you're a contender in your weight class in the UFC or Bellator. I just don't see how that would benefit anybody.
Yeah.
All right. The last bit of news that I wanted to go over was Evander Holyfield wants Mike Tyson, and he's almost putting it, you know, putting Tyson there on the spot saying, I'm in, let's do this. This would be a trilogy. Evander Holyfield's up 2-0. Are you in, Goes?
I'm okay with it, but I feel like it should be the other way around. Tyson should be the one that wants to fight him, right?
Tyson should be the one that wants to fight him. Tyson's still the bigger name, but Evander Holyfield's not far behind. Remember, Yahoo Sports, Kevin Ioli told us Evander's in the top 5, top 10 of all time when it comes to combat sports draws, and he has that title of an Olympic champion. Mm-hmm. So he'll always carry some weight, and that's one hell of a rivalry. They could both make a lot of money. So, yeah, I think Tyson would want to be in.
Yeah, you'd think.
All right, folks. Give us 10 seconds. We'll be joined by TJ Lavin, BMX rider, and the host of MTV's The Challenge. Of course, on December 9th, as I've been telling you, we are going to get double agents. That's right. 8 Eastern, 7 Central. And I'm going to be tuned in because Ghost got me hooked on the last season. And I can't wait for this one to start off. Be right back.
The Counter. An NFL podcast from USA Today Sports, featuring For the Win's Steven Ruiz and Chris Corman.
I know people are like just assuming that this is an upgrade at the quarterback position, but I don't think we could say that for a fact. I'd say it's a downgrade.
He never really had game-to-game impact, just coming off the edge and destroying people that we thought when we saw his athleticism in college and at the combine. And
The Counter, diving deeper into the NFL with advanced stats, film study, and expert guests. This is The Counter.
Listen and subscribe to The Counter on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, there he is, TJ Lavin, the host of The Challenge on MTV, December 9th. What up, TJ? How are you?
What up, guys? How you doing, man? I'm great.
Nice. I love that room that you're in. Is that like your home studio man cave?
Yeah. Yep. This is where I do it, man. This is I do all the voiceovers for the show, make music in here, play piano, do whatever, man. I love it.
That's awesome. So listen, I'm going to come clean here. I had heard of the challenge all along, and I dipped in, dipped out here or there over the past few years. But you know, with the explosion of Netflix and Narcos and all of these different, you know, ways that you can consume entertainment now, Hulu or whatever, it was really, really hard to just really, I guess, figure out what I like. And what I really do like is reality TV. Go says, hey, man, check out the challenge. You know, I got them all taped, and I was like, yeah, sure, put one on. And so we started watching. I got hooked, and I can't wait for Double Agents.
Nice, bro. Thank you, man. Yeah, I'm very proud of it. It's something that we did during this crazy time that we're going through right now. And so we had to stay in a bubble. We all quarantined. We all didn't break the law. You know what I mean? Like we stayed strong, because it's super hard to leave the country in the first place. And then to go to a place that they don't want you, it's real, real hard, you know? So it was a mission accomplished for sure. It was cool.
Everything's just so tightened up. You guys went to Prague for the last one. And of course that one kind of hit home, because like I told you, Goz and I actually went in 2006 for the World Cup. It was in Germany. Yeah. We kind of broke off to a couple different countries, but I was trying to recognize, you know, the terrain. I really didn't, because you guys did a great job with that bunker. And like I said, you guys have really, really made it into an actual sporting event, because how buttoned up everything is, everything from the challenges, from the setting. But then, of course, you still give them a lot of the luxuries they need to survive for whatever time period they're in there. What is it, like 6 weeks or something?
No. It's 2 months.
2 months. Okay.
Yeah, man. It's tough. It's a tough go, man. This time was just a lot of guitar playing for me, man. Like, I was like, because I would go host the show, do whatever. And like, sometimes it'd be 17-hour days. It was long days, you know, filming. But then the days then they had interview days, I don't film during that time. So I don't really have anything to do, and I couldn't go anywhere because everything was closed and or they locked us down. They were like, yo, we can't get sick. So because if you get sick, it messes up 200 people. So it was like, man, we gotta stay. They were like, TJ, we really need you not to mess up. So
all right, here's another thing I really, really liked is the way you took command. And you started calling it my final, you know, and the skull, and this is what you need to do. And so I love the fact that this has become your baby in the last few years. How much of a fingerprint do you have on the challenges and all the creativity? Is that a lot of you?
Yeah, man. Like, I definitely put my input on it. Like, they do the creative for sure. They come with the whole theme of the show and everything else. And they really do a great job. And then when we're at the game and we're going through the motions, sometimes during the tests or during whatever happens, you know, like during the tryouts of the game or whatever, I'll watch it on the camera, and they'll say, you know, what do you think about this, that, and the other thing? Or what do you think, like, they're having a hard time with this or that. And sometimes I'll input that stuff, but it's very rare that they have to have me help them think of a game or anything like that. Like that's happened very rare.
TJ, there's times where we'll do interviews. You've been in our studio. You've been there for 2 hours before. Those 2 hours sometimes get condensed to like 20 minutes. And there's so much good stuff that gets left on the table. We see sometimes with your reunion shows and all that, just all these clips. How much of everything in those 2 months actually gets cut out, and how great is some of that footage sometimes?
I don't know, because I'm not part of that thing, you know. I'm not post. I don't do anything with post. And all the good stuff at the challenges and everything, they show all that, and it happens. So the only thing that gets cut out are a lot of the cussing and stuff like that. Like if any wild, you know, because everybody talks like a sailor, but during competition especially they do, so that they cut all that out. But that's, I mean, it's pretty legit. They show almost everything, man. It's very, very surprising how much they actually show.
I think every time we have you on the show, we usually ask you, who from the challenge do you think would do well in MMA? And that answer can change from time to time, but I think this time I'm going to reverse it. Who from MMA do you think could go over and compete on something like the challenge? We saw Jorge Masvidal did kind of like the Univision version, a little bit of a show, somewhat similar. But can you think of somebody in MMA that you think would be not only fun to watch, but could actually perform well?
I think that any MMA fighter is mentally tough, first of all. So their mental game would be fine. Anybody that survived the Ultimate Fighter show, they get it. They understand. They know what it is. So Forrest Griffin would have been amazing, you know, because he stayed in the house. He lived in the house. He was also dealt with so many different aspects of shows and things that he had to deal with. And then he was a really great fighter too. So his athleticism was real well. You know, he did a lot of things really well. I think that Izzy would be sick. I just don't know if he would be good politically. So he would be like probably getting sent to the elimination round all the time because they're scared of him, you know, to make it to the final because he's so good, so athletic. And he might turn them off with that one. So you might like, I think somebody that would do really well, that's real funny and real cool. You got to think of somebody that would be not rubbing you the wrong way. I can't think of anybody that would be not like super non, you know, who do really well probably from the past, like George St. Pierre, because he's so sweet, such a friendly guy. So politically, he would kill it, and they would love him. And then he's very athletic, very rounded. I mean, he would be a beast in the challenge.
Now, can I play real fast on that question?
Yeah.
All right. I think Uriah Faber would be good because he's likable, but he's a wrestler. Tough guy, gritty, nasty when he needs to be, you know. And yeah. I think Valentina Shevchenko would be good as well because she's that silent assassin where she doesn't get too caught up in the drama, but I think she just executes a lot of things. You know, she knows how to shoot guns and stuff. Living conditions help her
bother her. She's a little bit too subdued, though. Uriah is definitely – like he would be sick. Cody No Love would be good, too, because he has that little fire. Uh-huh. And so he might get in a fight in the house, like, or yelling match with somebody because he's got like that no take, whatever. Amanda Nunes would be sick. Like she would be sick. And then, yeah, you're right, man. Like Uriah would probably be the best one. Like he's like the dude because he's so likable. So he would have everybody on his team and he'd be hard to beat.
I was thinking Dustin Poirier.
Dustin's a sweetheart. He would be hard to beat, but he's real quiet. So I don't think he would be very good on the show. He's very like subdued and very chill and like he's hard to rattle, man. Like so it's going to be a boring TV show if you have Dustin on there because he's just like very normal and cool. You know, he's like just a normal dude like that's very chill and it is what it is. You know, they're not going to rattle him. Like I would be a horrible competitor. Like. For that show, you know what I mean? Because I'm not somebody that gets mad at somebody saying your mom during one of the challenges, you know? Like Bananas was like, your mom. And I was like, that's so funny. She doesn't even play
soccer. Oh, that's right.
You know, like, so like, I like, you're not going to get to me. So it's boring television if you don't get rattled.
Well, they got to the commercial on that one. I was like, ooh, TJ's going to let them have it. And then when they came back, you're right. You played it off really cool.
Yeah.
The opposite of Dustin Poirier is probably Conor McGregor, who he's
100%. Conor would be fun to watch. You know, he's talking all the trash to everybody nonstop, and it would be fun to watch for sure. And you just want to see him. You want to know what he's doing at all times because it's hilarious. And he'll say, "Who is that guy?" And you know, whatever. So,
who do you see? How do you see that fight playing out, Dustin Poirier and Conor McGregor?
You know, man, I think Dustin's a better fighter than when he fought him. So I think that now he's been in there with Conor. I think Dustin can do it, dude. Like I really do. I think Dustin has what it takes. He's a badass dude, and he really he can do it, man. Connor might have been, he might be too rich, dude. I don't know. It's real hard to stay hungry in satin sheets, right?
Yeah, that's true. Hey, let me ask you about a couple of my favorite moments from Total Madness the past season that I only finished watching about a month ago because I wasn't up with the times. I blew it, but I will be there on December 9th, 8 Eastern, 7 Pacific, 7 Central for Double Agents on MTV. Bro, Rogan, when he body slammed the newbie kid, I forget his name, because he's the rugby player. That was pretty wicked.
Yeah, he smashed Jay. That was really gnarly.
Jay, that's right. I like Jay, too, because he kind of was like a thin fella, but an athlete. And everybody.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart. The kid's a rock climber. He's a beast.
He sure was.
Yeah.
But that slam, and then all the challenges, I was like, I could or I couldn't right away. I had to really think about tunnel vision, where you guys put him in dirt. And I think it has to be with the claustrophobia part, more of it than anything. But just seeing how trapped you are and – you know, I imagine your neck gets contorted and your back as you're trying to dig your way out. That was pretty creative too, man. Those cats sleep for 6 hours out in the snow on that mountain. I was like, wow, that's pretty cruel. But I guess that's the price you got to pay in the final.
Yeah, dude, for $1 million, bro, we're riding. You got to, this ain't free.
How about you? What would have been some of the challenges where you're like, oh, man, I just would not want any part of that one?
Eating. The eating challenges, any eating challenge, I'm not having it. I'm like, I'm out. Don't even talk to me about the eating challenge. Like, they eat some of the most disgusting things in the world. And I'm already not with the animal, like, parts and all that. I don't want nothing to do with that. Like, ugh, I get so upset. I'm like, why do we do this? And they're like, it's just part of it, man. So.
And then I've also seen that you guys have been all over the world with this. Thailand was a recent one. Prague, like I mentioned.
New Zealand, Australia, Iceland. Yeah.
What have been some of your favorite locations? And do you have any hairy situations of just waking up with a big, I don't know, a snake next to your bed? Or because, I mean, you guys are really in remote areas at times.
Yeah. Well, in Costa Rica, it was right after my accident. So I wasn't all there. And I went swimming in the ocean. And I ended up like real, real far away. And the tide just kept taking me out further and further and further. And I was like, dude, like, I'm getting kind of tired. And I don't know how I'm going to get back in. And I just kept trying to swim in and I couldn't get in. The undertow was so gnarly. And I was out there for a while. And my friend was with me. He was also driving me around because I couldn't see yet like that good. I had double vision and stuff. And he came out there on a surfboard. He was surfing. And he came out there on a surfboard. He's like, bro, you're way out here. What are you doing? I'm like, I can't get back in. He's like, oh, my God, you just almost died. So I was like, okay. So then he brought me back in with the surfboard, and we crashed into the rocks. And it was pretty crazy, dude. Like, I was thinking about it. I was like, man, if he wasn't there, I would have, like, I was trying to swim to the side, but it just wasn't happening. I just kept going further and further out. And I was like, man, that's scary. Because I wasn't thinking straight. I didn't know what I was doing. And it was weird. But that was kind of a weird thing. Crashed a couple cars, a couple funny crashes and stuff too. But that's it. I mean, there's nothing too gnarly. Everything was pretty all right.
Hey, TJ, when I was showing George the show, I was really curious to get his input. Because he was trying to figure out what strategy works the best. And throughout all these seasons, when I watch, I kind of come to the realization that I'm not even sure there is one, because there's so many plot twists and so many things that happen. And sometimes some strategies work and sometimes they don't. It's just, I really don't know. So can you answer that question? Is there a strategy?
Tell me 1 minute, baby. I'll be out there. Sorry about that.
No,
there is no strategy, dude. Like every strategy, we come up with something why it's going to be hard to do. Whatever you think you're going to do. Like, we have so many scenarios, and sitting in a room, they have something. They're like, dude, what if we did this, and this? And I'm like, wow, that is sick. It blows my mind. Some of the stuff they think of, and then all of a sudden it comes to fruition and they've already thought of it. So I love it.
And we do too as well, TJ. Hey, we appreciate your time this morning. Can't wait for Double Agents on December 9th, 8 Eastern, 7 Central. I'm hooked. I'm going to try and get as many people hooked. I think this is a quality show, perfect reality television, and those challenges are awesome, man. So thanks again for stopping by here on MMA Junkie Radio.
Guys, I really, really appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Take care. Have a good one, all right?
Have a good one, guys. Thank you.
We'll see you. There he is, folks. TJ Lavin. Catch it again, December 9th, 8 Eastern, 7 Central. This one's called Double Agents, and it's the MTV Challenge. They basically grab some people from the former stars of Big Brother and Real World, the Rules Road Rules Challenge, and a lot of them are actual like great athletes, you know. And so over 34 seasons of the challenge and all the other shows that I mentioned, they've been able to secure some of the best of the best that they always come back and return. And some of these rivalries go from one season to the next. Then you got veterans against the rookies. Everything you could ask for, man. I enjoyed it. And I'm telling you, these are 90 minutes long, but I love it. Like, there's just a lot of twists and turns. So sign me up, man. For the next one. Can't wait.
And you know what's cool, too, is like, living here in Las Vegas, we have these people that have lived in Las Vegas or born and raised in Las Vegas that kind of just make you feel good about the community. And he's one of them. And he's one of the guys that, like, even when he wasn't scheduled on the show, he'll walk through the Mandalay Bay, come over and kind of knock on the glass.
Yeah.
And just kind of say, what's up? And it makes you feel good because, you know, Vegas has been through a lot in the last couple of years. And we
had a nice message for Tony, the CEO of Zappos as well, who passed away recently.
Yeah.
And a lot of Las Vegas cats just look out for each other. That's one thing I've noticed in this town. I've been here now, 12 years? But Vegas people take care of Vegas people for sure.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Listen, we got another guest coming up here in a few minutes. Artem Lobov is going to join the program. Artem has a fight coming up in mixed martial arts. We've seen him. We've seen him in UFC, of course. We've seen him over at Bare Knuckle. And he's going to be fighting at Arena. And we're going to talk to him about that. That one snuck up on me, guys, because Artem is a friend of mine on Facebook. And from time to time, I'll say hello. It had been a while since I had said hello. But I was thinking after I read that article that Danny Segura, our colleague at MMA Junkie, had done about catching up with the Argentine fighters and their reaction to the loss of Diego Maradona, the great soccer superstar. And I know they caught up with Santiago Ponzinibbio and I think Guido Canetti and I forget who else. It was three or four of them, and they were all talking about, obviously, you know, what an idol that guy was to them or just to the whole country, you know. And I thought about Artem. I was like, wait a minute, a lot of people don't know this. Born in Russia, forged in Ireland, but he did, I believe, live 2 years, if I'm not mistaken, in Argentina. He's got a cool Argentinian accent. If you talk to him, it sneaks up on you. Kind of like when Valentina busts out her Spanish, same thing with Artem. He'll talk to you in Spanish, and it's very fluent, and he's got that Argentinian accent. But I asked him, I go, hey, bro, I go, you know, Maradona, do you have memories of him or whatever? And he was like, well, listen, I didn't play soccer. I'm not really the biggest soccer fan, but I cannot deny that this guy was huge in Argentina when I lived there, you know. And we started talking, how you been? Good, good. And he told me he had a fight coming up. I looked it up quickly. I was like, wait a minute, this thing's right around the corner. Hey, let's do a catch-up. He said, cool. So he's going to pop in here pretty soon, and we'll catch up with him.
You know what's interesting about Maradona is there are some players that are great, and you can pull up a highlight reel, and you could just look at it and go, okay, like what we brought up Patrick Ewing earlier, right? Look at his highlight reel. You'll look at it and you'll go, I could see he was a good player, but I don't see what makes him stand out over everyone else. Maradona did things that made even great players look like they were just average. And that's so hard to do. There's only guys like Kobe, LeBron, Jordan that can do that in their highlight reels where like they're posterizing other superstars. That's what Maradona did in soccer. Him and Ronaldo, those are guys that just make other guys that are Hall of Famers make them look silly.
And you remember when you were at a Sylvester Stallone premiere with Frank Trigg and Chuck Zito, and a small guy walked by, and Chuck said, who's that? You told him who it was and that he was one of the best in the world. And he goes, that little pipsqueak? Because he was deceiving, right? Because he was a little guy, and Chuck's a big, tough New York guy, you know? Well, same thing with Maradona. You know, Maradona was only 5'5", about 145, 150 pounds, at, you know, when he came through. Obviously, he ballooned to, like, 280 or whatever at one point. But, yeah, he was a little guy, goes, and he was a little guy out there, but he was compact, big hips, big thighs, fast, very, very fast, and just had incredible touch on the ball with the head, with the shoulders, with the knees, with the feet. You know, he could do the fancy passes. He could do the accurate passes. He was tough. But because people were always trying to take him out, you know, I think he already could – he had great anticipation. He knew when to lift the ball or lift his feet and not get taken out. And he would just leave a wake of bodies behind him as he charged forward. I mean, he could literally take on 5-6 defenders and still score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he was a beast, dude. I mean, just go back and look at some of his highlights and see what things he done. And he did it on the biggest stage, you know, at the World Cup. That dude just always showed up.
Big time, yeah. So hopefully Artem here pops in. He's 8 hours ahead of us. So I calculated the times, and he's supposed to be popping in here any second. This weekend we have UFC on ESPN 19. That has Joker Hermanson. So that's Jack Hermanson versus Marvin Vettori in the main event. And let me give you the times, the start times. So ESPN 2 and ESPN Plus got you covered. 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific for the prelims. There's six of them, including Jose Quinones, versus Luis Smolka, Gabriel Benitez versus Justin James, or as John Anik knows him, as Jesse James, Eamon Jackson versus Ilia Topuria, Cody Durden versus Jimmy Flick, Jordan Levitt versus Matt Wyman, and so Matt Wyman still fighting after all these years. He fought at UFC 60, for crying out loud. UFC 256 is the week after. That's almost 200 pay-per-views goes later, and Matt Wyman's still chugging along.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I remember that weekend. That was we had fun with him, actually. That was the one where we did the interview in the bed with him, right?
In the bed, yeah.
The microphone.
Jake Collier versus John Volante. Then you get to the main card. The main card is another six bouts with, ESPN 2 and ESPN Plus, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. Mosfar Evloev versus Nate Landwehr. And, you know, Nate Landwehr's beaten like five Russians, if I'm not mistaken, in his run at M1. And two of them were title defenses. One was to win the title. So this Russian kid, Evloev, you know, he may want to get some country revenge. Who knows? John Allen versus Roman Dolidze. Montana De La Rosa versus Tyler Santos. Mirab Davishvili against to be announced. Somebody dropped off there. Obviously, I forget who. Jamal Hill versus Ovince St. Preux, new versus old, and Jack Hermanson versus Marvin Vettori is your main event. I can't wait, man. I've been on a good streak of betting lately, guys.
Yeah, I've noticed. I hear your screams. Hermanson and Vettori, that's put up or shut up time, man, because Vettori's wanted these type of fights for a very, very long time, and I think he deserves these type of fights. Now, granted, this one came a little bit earlier than he expected, but I think he can win it. I think it's going to be a really good fight.
Yeah. That's why I love this guy, man. Artem Lobov on time, as always, 8 hours ahead. We figured out the math. He's on the UK time there. He's in Ireland, to be exact, and he's going to be fighting for a title over at Arena 12. On December 12th, joining us now is the Russian Hammer, but us hardcores know him as the GOAT. What's up, Artem? How are you?
All good, guys. Thanks very much for having me on the show. It's really good to see you. We haven't done this in a long time, but it's great to catch up, and it's good to finally be here again.
Oh, thank you, sir. And, you know, I was telling Goz about we connected because I was just curious. A lot of people don't know this, but you lived a couple years in Argentina, and I was just wondering if you had any memories of Maradona. And I was explaining to the audience, you never really played football or followed football much, but you did tell me that, wow, I mean, everyone knows who Maradona was in Argentina. So did you feel it a little bit when you heard of his passing last week?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Maradona, you know, he's the best ever. Of course, everybody knows him. And
You know, I always wanted to be good at football, but and I used to play as a kid, but I was just terrible. You know, it just it didn't work out for me, you know. But, of course, I know who Maradona is. You know, everybody knows the hand of God and all the incredible things that he has done, you know. And, of course, as a character as well, he was some character, you know. He is the kind of guy I would probably would love to, you know, have a joint with. You know, I'd say he has some great stories to tell.
Yeah, you put it perfectly. Yeah, that guy definitely loved to work hard and perform on the pitch. But when it was all over, man, he'd like to party it up. That's for sure.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Hey, so listen, it's been 2 years since you fought MMA. I when you told me you had the fight coming up, I looked it up quickly and I saw it was right around the corner. How you feeling? Are you anxious to, you know, it's not like bare knuckle where it was just hands. I mean, now you get to throw elbows and knees and kicks and it's back to, you know, the sport that you love.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. You know, I was training MMA for the last year. It just happens to be that, you know, I like to compete across all sports. But if you want to be ready for any other sport, it's best to be taking the MMA approach in terms of training. If you're ready for a 5-round MMA fight, you're going to be ready for a boxing fight. You're going to be ready for a bare knuckle fight. You're going to be ready for a K1 fight. Or at least the transition is going to be a lot easier. Whereas if you, let's say, just train boxing and then an MMA fight comes up, you know, you're going to need a lot more time to prepare for that. So because this year was supposed to be very busy for me, I did not expect Corona, of course. I started training MMA from the beginning of the year and was just kind of, MMA was the main focus for me. And it just so happens to be that I am, in fact, fighting MMA now at the end of the year. I didn't think I would be out this year. It didn't look like it was going to be a possibility with everything that's going on. But I'm happy to be fighting again and happy to make sure that my family has a nice and green Christmas this year.
Love it. And it's 5 rounds. So you're in a title fight at Arena Fight 2. That's great. Is that something that you were able to negotiate? Hey, I'll step in for this vacant title, but I'm not fighting any, you know, I'm not going to do any contender bites. I want to go straight for the gold.
To be honest, no, I did not request the title. This was something that they just suggested, you know, and of course, you know, I just say yes. To me, the only thing that mattered in the whole thing was the paycheck. You know, I said, look, guys, once I'm happy with the paycheck, I don't care who you want me to fight. I don't care what weight you want me to fight, what sport you want me to fight. I don't give a fuck. Sign that paycheck and I'm going to be there.
Artem, we've seen you compete in just about anything that's available. And one thing that I heard you say that really got me interested was you said in 2021, you want to actually look towards boxing. And I wanted to ask you, how soon into 2021 is that something you want to do? And when you do that, do you just have to immerse yourself in only boxing, or do you train a little MMA and some of the other stuff? Because like I said, we've seen you fight just about anywhere.
Yeah, the reason I say boxing is, you know, as I mentioned before, I'm only going to be fighting for 2 more years. You know, I would like to secure a good future for my family. Now, I've been getting 6 figures for quite some time now, and life is good on 6 figures. But if you want to secure a good future for the family, you have to be hitting those 7-figure paydays. And I feel the easiest way to do it, if not almost the only way to do it, is through boxing. So, you know, I had some interesting proposals at the start of 2020, but Corona fucked everything up for me. So I'm hoping to pick it right up where I left it off, you know, and yes, I will be training MMA because it will make sure that I'm ready for any other combat sport. But yeah, I will definitely be looking towards boxing for sure.
Did you watch this past weekend with Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr.? If so, what were your thoughts? And then also, Jake Paul was very interested in fighting MMA guys. What did that do for you? Did that get your mouth watering? Because that seems like a fight that we would all love.
That's right down your alley, Artem.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of that fight, you know, I have absolutely nothing to gain from beating that guy other than financial gains. So if they give me the paycheck that I'm happy with, I don't care. I can whoop Jake Paul or his brother or whoever else in the family wants to get it. They can get it. As for Mike Tyson and Roy Jones, you know, I was so happy to see those guys nice and healthy. And, you know, I was excited to watch the fight. I enjoyed the fight. To me, when you have two guys like that, they have done everything in the sport. And to me, if they want to do it for whatever reason, let them. You know, these guys don't need to prove anything. They have proven whatever needs to be proven already. So if they have that itch, if they have that fire back on, or if they want money or whatever the reason might be, you know, I have no issue at all, you know, with them doing it. And I enjoyed it. It was very enjoyable for me. If they do it again, I will certainly tune in one more time. You know, all the power to them. You know, they're absolute legends, and I love all of their fights, including this one.
Yeah, I want to see the Jake Paul one for sure, man. Hopefully they pay you for that one, and you can get out and whoop that YouTuber's ass.
Hey, I'm all for it. You know what I mean? Easy paydays. You know, I haven't had many easy paydays in my life, so maybe I'm due one. So yeah. Let's do it.
Hey, like you said, it's been a while since we caught up. I wanted to ask you, are you completely done in the bare knuckle world? And did you enjoy your time when you fought at bare knuckle?
Oh, I absolutely loved it. It's a great sport. It's a great experience. It's unlike anything I have ever experienced. I really love the fact that the round's only 2 minutes and there's only five of them. That ensures excitement. You know, as soon as you start adding fighting time, you know, excitement takes a hit straight away. People are just too careful. They're afraid of getting tired, rightfully so, of course. Also, on top of that, in terms of brain damage, you know, fighting time is directly proportional, correlated to, you know, brain injuries. So the shorter you fight, the less likely you will get a brain injury, you know. So I really love that concept. You know, it's not very long. Get in, put on a show, and get a fuck out. And it pays so well, so damn right I loved it. And I'm hoping to make a comeback at some point in 2021. Definitely, you know, I want to be fighting across all the sports. And bare knuckle is probably, you know, very at the very top of that list.
I put that first night fight up there with Forrest and Bonner, man. It was epic. I loved it. That was quite the show. I got to imagine when you run into fans, they bring that up a lot.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That fight, I felt like I was just in the blender, you know. I was just going out, and it was somebody turning on the blender, and there was shots flying from everywhere. Blood was fucking all over the place. Then the round would be over. I would sit down. My hands were in agony. I was like, what the fuck has just happened? They say, right, it's time to go back out there again. They turned the blender back on, and it was just all over again. It was absolutely crazy experience, but yeah, it was very enjoyable and very good for my wallet as well. So I will keep doing that.
Nice. And I'm not sure if we ever even told you congratulations on defeating Pauly Malignaggi, a former two-time boxing champion. You guys built up a great fight and you got your hand raised. So you should be very proud of that one too.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That was a big moment for me. That was a must win. I got it done. You know, it was incredible. I mean, I knew that coming into the fight, not many people believed I could do it, but I knew I could do it because Ireland is a hot spot for very, very talented boxers. So in my preparation for that fight, I was sparring, you know, Olympic medalists. I was sparring world champions and you name it, you know. So, you know, I was well prepared. Even though I got to spar all those guys only in the last week of my preparation, because after the Jason Knight first fight, my hands were so fucked up that I couldn't even hit pads for the whole camp. And wow. Only in the last 10 days, I actually managed to get some sparring in. And I literally, like, within 1 week, I got like four spars in. And that was kind of my only sparring for that fight. But, you know, I felt good in sparring. I moved well. I did really good against some really tough guys. And I was very confident. You know, I knew that heart-wise, you know, I would be able to stay in it. And I knew skill-wise, I was also going to be able to destroy that guy. And it sure worked out that way.
Yeah. And let's finish with this. Of course, your mate, Conor McGregor, has a fight lined up too. Have you guys been sharing any rounds at all as he prepares for Poirier and you've been preparing for your title fight at Arena Fight 2?
Yeah, to be honest, we actually didn't get to train in this camp mainly because of this whole COVID shit. You know, it just made moving around very hard, you know, and with all this, like anytime you left Ireland, you had to quarantine for 2 weeks. whenever he came back. So all that made it very, very difficult, you know, and we didn't really get to train together much. But who knows, perhaps after this fight, you know, I will fly out to Conor and, you know, help him with some of his sparring and some of his preparation for his own fight. I will definitely be going out there to watch the fight. I'm not even sure where the fight is going to be yet, but I will be there to support 100%.
Artem, I know you're a best mate of his, but you've always been a straight shooter. Can you just give us an objective, as much objective as you can, breakdown of how you think this fight's going to go? A lot of fans are looking forward to this. They fought once before at 145. Now they're fighting at 155. You've done the same thing. How do you think this fight goes if you just break it down to the newer fans that are now starting?
You know, I see this fight going exactly the same way. The reason being is, you know, everybody's trying to make it out like Poirier wasn't good before he fought Conor or something like that. Like he's changed so much. No, remember what Poirier was. He was number 5 featherweight in the world. He was destroying guys. You remember his fight with Koch, who was number top 10, you know, featherweight at the time. He stopped him. Brandao, you know, this guy was an absolute killer. It's just people don't want to give Conor credit for destroying these guys. Poirier was an absolute killer back then, but just stylistically, his style just matches up so well against Conor that Conor, you know, will stop him again in the first round, and it'll be no different from their first meeting. You know what I mean? So Conor Poirier was good before they fought the first time. Just Conor was so good that he destroyed Poirier like that, and then after that, Poirier went back to doing what he was doing before he fought Conor, dominating and being a very good fighter. So I don't see anything changing this time around. It's going to be exactly the same fight, and Conor is going to stop him in the first.
All right, there you have it. Thank you for that breakdown. But first things first, December 12th, Arena Fight 2, Artem Lobov is fighting for the vacant title there, the vacant lightweight title. So we hope you have a safe weight cut, you know, 155 pounds there. And, of course, it's always great to have you on the show, Senor. Born in Russia, forged in Ireland, with a 2-year pit stop in Argentina. Habla un poco de español. Un saludo a los latinos que no creen que tú puedes hablar español. Oh, and he had to go. I guess he had to go. Okay. No worries there. I was asking him to do a shout out to the Latino fans because a lot of people don't believe he speaks Spanish, just like a lot of people have never believed that Valentina could speak Spanish either.
Yeah. Maybe he's had to back up in a while.
Huh?
Oh, yeah, there he is.
Oh, he's going to pop in. Nice. Okay.
No, yep. No sé qué ha pasado, pero me cortó. No sé por qué. Pero a todos los latinos, muchísimas gracias por su apoyo. Como siempre, me gusta mucho y espero que pueda noquear a este tipo y vamos a celebrar mucho.
Ya ven, él puede hablar español muy bien. Gracias, Artem, for coming back and doing that shout out to the Latino fans. It's always great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate that.
All right, we'll see you. There he is, the Russian Hammer, the GOAT, as we all know him in the hardcore circles. Artem Lobov always gives us awesome fights, man. Whether it's been in the UFC or at bare knuckle, that dude's been awesome to get to know over the years. And I love the way he talks some shit, too. he's yeah. Always letting people know, hey, man, it's on, you know, it's on. And so I always enjoy that. All right, folks, we're getting ready to wrap up here. Big thank you again to Artem Lobov and TJ Lavin. Don't forget TJ's show on MTV. It drops on December 9th, and it's called Double Agents. So actually the show is called The Challenge, but this season's called Double Agents, and it's December 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Check it out on MTV. You guys will really, really like it. Go's got me hooked on it. It's got a little bit of, you know, the whole backstabbing deal. You know, like reality shows where they kind of build alliances and some of them hold up and then there's a little bit of backstabbing and some of the couples are hooking up and some are going crazy. They just want to go home. They didn't know what they signed up for. Others are grizzled vets because they've done this before and they're watching everybody else melt down. The challenges themselves they don't suck, man. I'm telling you. MTV really put some money into this. They got like tanks and explosions and, you know, I don't know, man. I like it.
Yeah, it's fun. I used to watch every single one of them and then I probably missed about 4 of them. And one of my buddies was telling me, because my whole thing was, I don't want to jump in and not know who everyone is. And he's like, you're not going to do that. Like, and I guess George kind of proves that because he knew who nobody was and jumped in and started liking it. And I did too. So now I might even go back and watch some of those other ones. But it's always fun, dude. You have a very difficult predicament right now, George.
What's that?
Look, it's not that I can't. I booked Louis Smoka, Randy Costa, and Austin Vanderfort this week. I could have put them on the show, but you're just on fire. What are you going to do? Are you going to book Monday too? Hey, come on. Are you telling me today wasn't a good show? Are you telling me this?
I enjoyed the show for sure.
Are you telling me like the last three that you've done haven't been great?
I've enjoyed them. I mean, I it's up to the listeners to tell me if they're great or not. I have, but Gus thinks I just woke up yesterday. Gus told me the other day, he goes, he was doing his little walk and then that little jog as I was watching television, and he turns around kind of like a salesman. He goes, hey, he goes, man, he goes, by the way, he goes, did you put on that handsome cream today? Because you're looking really good. And I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. He goes, oh, anyway, man, you've been on fire with these shows that you've been booking. Hey, why don't you stay, man? You got that momentum. Why don't you book the next couple shows? You know, like I was supposed to sit there and go, yeah, I've been on fire. Watch, I'm going to prove you. He just didn't want to book these next couple shows because
I think told he was busy watching,
his UNLV Rebels were back. And then, of course, he was throwing down in the kitchen for Thanksgiving. So if he just would have said, hey, man, you'd really help me out if you could book the next show, I would have been okay with it. But instead, he turned into a used car salesman.
But I just explained that I could have just – the interviews that I booked during the week, I could have made them for the show. I can do it. I'm just saying, you're on fire. It's like when a pitcher's on fire, you don't take him out of the game. Now, you could just walk out, drop the mic, and that's fine. But I'm just saying, like, I think everybody –
is it because I'm double booking to make up for those weeks where we didn't have guests?
Maybe, but it just so happens that both guests have been really good. So I don't know if it's just double booking or what, but I don't know. Junkie Nation can respond via Twitter. You guys know how to get a hold of us, Facebook, whatever. But I've had a couple people go, hey, this last show was really good. Then it happened again. And I have to imagine at the end of the show, people are going to go, hey, this show was a lot of fun. So I just think you're on fire. Now, if you want to drop the mic and walk away, I understand. But I'm just saying, if you have something up your sleeve.
All right. We'll see. I'll decide. Do I need to keep double booking or what?
Man, I think I would just because that's what the – but I don't think that's the recipe.
Are we at least caught up with the shows that we missed? Because we were very proud of the fact that we always had at least the one guest. And so when the one guest wasn't showing, it was just us two, which is – I don't find that to be a problem, honestly. But, I think we take it harder, you know, because I think the listeners have told us, hey, sometimes when you guys don't have guests and just talk about the latest news, that's fine with us. And it's fine with us too, but – you know, it's something about researching the guy and then getting all of the points that you want to talk about, then telling our editorial team who then puts who the guest is going to be. And then if we catch it in time, we got to take it off or, you know, kind of eat our little crow there. So, yeah, it's not like we're big babies and it's the end of the world. Sometimes these things just happen when it comes to live radio, podcasts, video platforms like this. But I don't know. So I felt like I wanted to make it up once we started saying it. And I guess it was more on me that I was saying it, but I think it was three shows or five shows. I can't remember. So I'm hoping we're close to caught up there.
Yeah. No, I think it was three. I think
what I'm hoping is that if somebody listens and goes, I like this show, I'm going to tell my friends about this show. But then you start off by posting something or tweeting something that says, guys, you should catch MMA Junkie Radio Mondays and Thursdays, noon Eastern, on Sportscaster, no E in Caster. Check it out. Noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, blah, blah, blah. They always have a guest. And then finally, one of your buddies goes, all right. Stern's over the hill, or I'm done with fill in the blank. Let me give these guys a shot. Hey, man, next thing you know, that guy's getting a text. I thought you said they're going to have a guest. These guys, you know, their guest didn't show. Who are these knuckleheads? And that's why I didn't want to make anybody else look bad, because a lot of you are very kind with your retweets and your posts and stuff like that. We really appreciate it. In fact, I want to give a shout out to Travis Williams from Louisiana. He was telling me, he reached out on Facebook. He said he was laughing. He goes, did you guys ever get the pigeon? So this was a few weeks ago. I'm running a little late on that shout out. We did. And honestly, when we were trying to get violent with the pigeon, kind of like corner him and swat at him, basically we were trying to guide him out. That didn't work. But when Goes actually negotiated with the pigeon and just gave him a little perch at the end of the broom, the pigeon said, oh, yeah. And he hopped on and then Goes carried him out. And the pigeon almost went like, see, he almost broke out in a British accent. So long, chaps, you know. And then he just, once we put him outside, he flew away. But when we were trying to, like, you know, escort him out like two bouncers, it wasn't working. He was fighting back.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty funny looking back. And props to Abby and Simon who kind of meshed everything that happened together. It was funny. And follow the pigeon. He's at MMA Junkie Pigeon, right? I think, or something like that.
I think so. A few other things here. Our YouTube channel holds a lot of the interviews that we do, not just here on Sportscaster. So later on, once some time's gone by, all these video interviews also get put on our YouTube channel. And the ones Goes and I do, like we did this week with Austin Vandeford, Randy Costa, and Lewis Smolka, they go up on the YouTube channel, and that's youtube.com/MMA Junkie Video. You can also catch Spinning Backclick there and the Rankings Report. Those are two video franchises that we came up with in the last year, along with all the other interviews that are done by Farah Hanoun, Nolan King, Mike Bond, John Morgan, Danny Segura. List goes on and on. There's a long, rich history there of YouTube interviews, post-fight press conferences, pre-fight press conferences, things like that. So check it out. Mailbag is up there as well, the Twitter mailbag. Also, I'm at MMA Junkie George, and Goes is at The Goes on Twitter and Instagram. Also, on December 12th, we'll be hosting a UFC 256 watch-along here on Sportscaster. It's a pay-per-view headlined by Davison Figueroa as he defends his UFC flyweight title against Brandon Moreno. And Tony El Kukui Ferguson, he fights Charles Oliveira in a contender match there in the lightweight division. And lastly, one last reminder for TJ's show on MTV. It's called The Challenge. This season's called Double Agents. December 9th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. And I think I want to say 5 Pacific because I think on DirecTV you can catch it live. Otherwise, it'll be 8 Pacific as well. Give it a couple episodes. I think you'll enjoy it. Like I say, I didn't know who anybody was for like 2-3 episodes. And then I started figuring it out. And within 3 episodes, I was already hating on that gal, hating on that dude. This dude was cracking me up. And I was already trying to figure out what I would have done if I was there. Because like Ghost said, you just don't know what the strategy is. I guess one strategy I did tell Goes is you hang around as long as you can because stuff can happen. Someone can just go home because they're homesick. Someone can, you know, have these mini meltdowns, and sometimes people just get sent home or whatever. So I think you just hanging around like Teddy KGB used to say. And then when it's time to get your skull, which is you win a challenge and now all of a sudden you have an opportunity to run in TJ's final, which is worth 500,000 to the men and 500,000 to the women, that's when you go for it. You can get a skull early, but I don't know that it doesn't protect you from possibly getting punted every week. So it's pretty unique. I hope I described it well. I don't know. Maybe I butchered it, but it's fun.
No, that was good.
Yeah. All right, folks. Enjoy the fights this weekend. UFC on ESPN 19 with Joker Hermanson and Marvin Vettori. Shout out to Marvin Vettori. He wanted that big fight, so I hope he completes well. Joker Hermanson's no joke. It's going to be a really, really good one. And, of course, keep it locked on MMA Junkie here throughout the week, every day. We got the best coverage in the sport of mixed martial arts. We cover all of the promotions, not just UFC, but LFA, ONE Championship, Bellator, Invicta, CFFC, Titan, you name it, we cover it. And we have an outstanding crew. And again, we hope you had a nice holiday week this past week. And let's just keep looking out for each other. Check in on each other. It's tough times we're in. Vaccines are around the corner, but still, the Rona's on an uptick. So take care of each other, right? We're going to get on out of here. Enjoy your weekend. And don't forget to always be a champion.